For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
To Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Skies and jam. The crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce. Detroit basketball.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Bleav Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me this week is the full cast and crew of this wonderful show, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia. Jasper, we haven't seen you in like a month or so, a month and a half. It feels like a year and a half. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. You know, the yacht broke down on the way to Ibiza, so it was tough. The champagne got a little bit warm. You know, we ran out of caviar after the second week. So, not everything is roses over here, but we're back. You know, the Gulf Stream, you know, picked us up. So we're good to go. Back in my girlfriend's palatial estate, which is why the black background is blurred. Can't be giving away the location, you know, too easily. I don't want any hoodlums breaking in and, you know, stealing the Ming vases and Fabergé eggs, but it's great to be back, guys. I spent the last 3 weeks writing that intro, so I hope it was worth it.
It was worth it. Yes, it was worth it.
This is like
and Aaron,
the star player returns, and you know, now I get to go back to being like the second or third fiddle in the offense now that Jasper's back. So,
No.
The full crew is here, boys. This feels right. It feels good, and it's at the right time because we are in an interesting point for the Pistons. The offseason's here. I was at exit interviews for the Pistons this week. I heard from, you know, the majority of the main core players and a few other guys that may or may not be on the team in a few months. We did not hear from Troy Weaver or Monty Williams. So there's an absolute ton going on around the Pistons. They're in rumors, as you would imagine. So it's only right that we have the full crew here today to go over all of it.
Well, if anything, man, I'm Rip Hamilton. You're Chauncey Billups. You know what I mean? I might lead the team in points, but you're the one making the offense flow. So, yeah, it's great to be back. We definitely have a lot to talk about, which is shocking considering the Pistons have been doing absolutely nothing since I've been gone. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, you really haven't missed a whole lot of Piston stuff, to be honest. You've just missed Aaron and I, which is, you know, that's got some value to it too. So we're going to talk about all of the updates that have happened with the Pistons, including the talk of bringing on a president of basketball operations and what that may entail, as well as a report of the Pistons being potentially a dark horse team to land Trae Young. We're going to get into that, and I'm sure plenty more. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is BetOnline. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'd like to also start this episode off with just our pre-show plugs that I'm sure everybody loves to hear. But of course, we have to do it. Gotta make that moolah, as Jasper said pre-show. We actually don't make any moolah off that, but we do love your support. That's just as good to us. The Palace of Pistons Substack. I'm sure you may have seen it on YouTube or on our social media account, but please subscribe to our newsletter at palaceofpistons.com. And read our latest release. It'd be Aaron's latest release, actually. Trae Young, who we're going to be talking about today, could be a target for the Pistons this summer, but that's not the only star that the Pistons could trade for. And if you read that latest article, you'll see who Aaron is talking about. Also on the Palace Pistons YouTube side, if you're watching this show on YouTube right now, take 30 seconds, leave a like on the video, subscribe to our channel. It helps us tremendously, and it costs so little for you to do that on your end. You can watch our most recent video discussing whose seat should be hotter between Troy Weaver and Monty Williams. It turns out they both may both be engulfed in flames. We'll talk about that as well. And then, of course, follow us on social as well, on TikTok, Palace of Pistons, X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, Palace of Pistons, Instagram is Palace of Pistons, and our Facebook page is Palace of Pistons if you just search. So I'll have to do those pre-show plugs. But with all that out of the way, we can go ahead and move on to our first topic for today, which is about the Pistons landing potentially a star player. And it might be the most polarizing, one of the most polarizing star players in the NBA for sure. According to Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report, rival NBA executives view the Pistons as a dark horse team to land Trae Young. The quote from that article is, "The wild card might be the Pistons, who quote-unquote need to do something per multiple competing executives." It adds that Trae is not really a point guard that Monty Williams would prefer to coach, but unfortunately it's not going to be up to him. He's going to be coaching the team he's handed, and a player like Trae Young massively lifts the floor of the Pistons. At least I think he does. So that's gonna be our first topic, is Trae Young. If the Pistons should be going after him, are you guys interested in that? And then, you know, potentially some sort of deals that, you know, may make sense. So Jasper, since I haven't heard you talk about the Pistons in millennia at this point, I want to hear your thoughts first. Trae Young to Detroit, Pistons being a wild card, how do you feel about them being one of the teams in the mix for such a player like Trae Young, who does have many flaws, particularly on defense, but certainly the offensive gravity would be something that Detroit hasn't had since Blake Griffin, maybe?
Yeah. Speaking of, pour one out for Blake Griffin, you know, retired this week. I think we'd be remiss not to mention, I think his, 2018, 2019, that was the last fun Piston season I can remember. He was awesome. I know that, you know, people got mad after he left and, you know, because of the circumstances regarding him. But I think we can all agree now, like, that guy gave everything for the team, for the organization. He definitely deserves to be remembered as a guy who just gave it his all. And I think in many ways probably had his best season of his career in Detroit. Like, who will forget that 50-point game he had against the 76ers? That was amazing. But back to your point, you know, I was on the boat rounding the Strait of Gibraltar, and I was reading Aaron's piece on Trae Young. There is something about Trae Young that is so difficult to figure out, because Aaron and I were talking before you joined, you know, that Hawks team feels like it should be so much better. And instead they ended up getting blown out by a horribly unfun Bulls team to watch. In the play-in game, I should say. They suck. Like, that team sucks. They need to blow it up. Trae Young is one of, in my opinion, like the top five playmakers on offense in this league. He's absolutely spectacular. He can drive an offense pretty much all by himself. I just think that there is issues when it comes to his fit in Detroit. I think, you know, putting him next to Cade Cunningham, I don't really know how that works out. I know that we talked about many times how, like, Cade, while he's very good with the ball in his hands, maybe should have the ball a little bit less in his hands, at least be asked to do a little bit less offensively. I think that might help him and the team a lot. But we just saw Trae Young with DeJounte Murray really put together a couple seasons of very uninspiring two-man ball. Both those guys, you know, had their moments, but it never felt like they really fully gelled as a tandem. And I worry that there could be some of that in Detroit as well, because I think Cade's a better playmaker than DeJounte Murray, to be honest with you. And I think there's a lot of questions defensively. Let's be honest about it, though. Like, Trae Young did actually work a lot on his defense. He improved defensively. He's still not a good defender, but, like, he did put in the work. I just think that if you're going after one of the guards from Atlanta, the guy I'd rather have is DeJounte Murray. And I think that while Trae elevates the floor, I think DeJounte is maybe a better fit. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, he's much bigger. He is a does have a better track record defensively. And he also can play off ball, I think, a little bit more effectively than Trae Young can. I think that if you put Trae Young on the Pistons, it's Trae Young's offense. Like, that is how it's going to work out. And if you put DeJounte Murray on the Pistons, I think you can have those nights where, okay, Cade's got it going tonight. We're going to ride with Cade. And DeJounte plays a little bit more off ball. Maybe Cade doesn't have it going tonight. That's okay. We can trust DeJounte to take over some of those playmaking duties. It's a lot of, like, what we envisioned from Jaden Ivey when the Pistons drafted him. There's also, like, the question of finances. And Aaron, I think, you know, you'll get into this a little bit more. It's just harder financially to make a Trae Young deal work. And part of that is because the Hawks are $10 million into the luxury tax right now. Trae Young's making $40 million. And, you know, the Pistons having that open cap space is a bit of a blessing and a curse. One, it's a blessing because you can absorb salary. That's great. It's bad, though, because it's very hard to get salary to trade off of your roster. Most of the attractive pieces the Pistons have are young and under rookie contracts, which means not that expensive. So it's hard to make up $40 million worth of what the Hawks would want. I just think the price tag also would be higher for Trae Young. Like, you're going to have to give up more picks in order to acquire him than I think you'd do with DeJounte Murray. So for me, while I like the idea of Trae Young, I just think that there are potentially better options out there for this team moving forward in terms of affordability, in terms of fit. And I think even on that very same Atlanta roster, there's better options for the Pistons to trade for. So, Aaron, I think you probably disagree. I'd love to hear your thinking on this.
Jasper, this isn't necessarily directed at you. It's more so directed at the people. We ran a poll on Palace of Pistons, and the final results to the poll were 60% said they would not want the Pistons to trade for Trae Young. Only 40% said yes. So here's my thoughts on this. How in the world could you say you are not interested in the Pistons trading for Trae Young when you just sat through a 14-win season? How in the world could you look at a point guard who is going to be turning just 26 years old next year, entering his prime, that averaged 26 points and 11 assists per game, and say he's not what the Pistons need? Let's face the facts. The Pistons need anything and everything. Outside of Cade Cunningham, there is nobody on this team that is a near all-star level player right now. There are, you could make a case, only 3 to 5 guys really worth keeping and knowing that you could build around with. The Pistons need guys, and Trae Young is a guy's guy. He's a 3-time all-star. He is a high-level scorer. He is a high-level playmaker. Yes. Has Atlanta had immense success before he got DeJounte Murray or after? No, they haven't. But that's not just on Trae Young. Trae Young is a star. He has proven it. For people to say that the Pistons shouldn't be going after Trae Young is absolute buffoonery. And this is why when people say, I don't understand how the Pistons are this bad every year, they look stupid, because you have people that are so picky that they'll say a 3-time All-Star that averages 26 and 11 isn't worth getting for Detroit. Make it make sense. It doesn't. The Pistons cannot afford to be picky when it comes to taking some swings on trying to improve this team. Again, you won 14 games this year. You've won 31 total games in your past 2 seasons. That's less in 1 season than the majority of NBA teams. It's an embarrassment. You have a chance, and not necessarily a chance. It's not like it's stone cold report that the Pistons are in trade talks to land Trae Young. But if it's an opportunity that the Pistons have for an Atlanta team that seemingly has some very tough decisions to make, and for an Atlanta team that should likely be trying to tear things down and begin a rebuild, if you have the chance to involve yourself in the Trae Young sweepstakes, you absolutely have to. I do not understand the people saying they don't want Trae Young. You want to maybe look at the market and see if there might be a player that you think is a better fit? Fine. But you flat out don't want him? You're crazy. I don't understand the line of thought.
Well, there's no disagreement for me there, Aaron. Like, we have been talking about this for how many seasons now? Like, the Pistons need high-level talent. That was our biggest, issue with the offseason this year, was, you are betting it all on these young players that haven't proven anything, and you don't have all-star level talent on your team. Nothing even close to that, to be honest with you. Like, they came into this offseason, it was like, who's Bojan Bogdanović? That's the closest thing you had to an all-star, basically, outside of Cade Cunningham. So, I'm 100% with you on that. If you can get Trae Young, screw it. You go out there and you get yourself Trae Young. Do I think, like you said, there's maybe better fits, there's maybe more affordable options to where you can acquire other players? Because I think that also needs to be a priority. You can't spend it all on one guy. You need to do a total overhaul of this roster this offseason. You need to bring in more than just one all-star. You need to bring in an all-star and 2-3 proven role players, at least if you just want to get into the 30 something win range. That is how far away you are from competency.
People can say Trae Young isn't good enough to win with. Look at Detroit's roster. You would be jumping out of your boots to be a play-in team right now. You'd be jumping out of your boots to be in the high 30s win total right now. It's not perfect, but you're talking about a high level player, a top 20 player in the league. Yeah, it's a no-brainer to go after him. And like you said, just getting Trae Young isn't going to solve everything for Detroit. Trae Young isn't going to walk through that door and turn the Pistons into a 40 to 45 win team that's capable of being a 6th seed or better. It's going to take Trae Young. It's going to take a defensive-minded big. It's going to take 2 to 3 NBA-level wings that can play both sides of the court. That's how fractured the Pistons roster is right now. You can't just add an all-star and think that's going to fix everything. again, let's go through the roster. Let's go through the main pieces. Obviously, Cade Cunningham's a guy. Obviously, Simone Fontecchio is a guy. I think in terms of pecking order and looking at the core guys, Asar Thompson's probably the number two guy in terms of just overall value, overall potential, overall standing amongst Pistons fans in terms of guys that they like and believe in. After that, I think Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey both did not end up having great seasons. They are very much significant question marks surrounding both of them. You cannot necessarily count on either of them as locks to turn into high-level winning players. You have to, unfortunately, come to terms with the fact that that just might not happen here in Detroit. It might have to happen elsewhere at this point. So you have to very much change the roster. And yes, it doesn't have to be Trae Young. It could be DeJounte Murray. It could be Brandon Ingram. It could be someone else that becomes available. Julius Randle from New York. Like, if there are stars that become available, the Pistons need to try to involve themselves in every single one of those trade talks until they can land one or two of them. And that's just how it is. You can't keep going in to every season with a very, very young team, a bunch of non-proven NBA players, and one to two veterans that aren't really good enough to crack your rotation and expect to be anywhere than where Detroit's been the past 3-4 years at the bottom of the standings in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, Trae Young's not going to solve everything for this team. I hate to break it to you. Like, he's not. They have to get significantly better across the board, whether it's Young, Murray, or any other star. They're not going to be enough to change the trajectory of this team.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mike, I want to kick it to you in just 1 second, but I thought, Aaron, it's interesting that you just said it's not just enough to have Trae Young and like what you have. You need some good wings. You need a, you know, another player next to Trae Young, and you also need a defensive-minded big. Guess what? Atlanta had all those things, and they won 36 games this year. And I'm not saying that as a knock on Trae Young. I'm saying that to outline just how far the Pistons are from, forget like being anything close to contenders, just making the play-in. Like, that is the standard for a bad NBA team right now. You're not even approaching that if you're the Pistons roster. So I thought it was interesting you said that.
So the sentiment I'm getting is that, Jasper, you're not as inclined to trade for Trae. Aaron, you are good with it. Now, you would rather have Murray, Jasper. You threw your hands up. You'd rather have Murray. And I think that that's true. I just worry that the Pistons are going to get, well, I think they're going to get outbid no matter who they go for, because I think either guard is going to generate interest. But I am on the record in the Pistons chat of saying, yeah, go for it. You know, go ahead and trade for Trae Young. If that's who's available, if the Hawks are dead set on keeping Murray and he was good this year, he doesn't have the defensive reputation that I think he has around the league. He wasn't as good defensively this year, but if you're going to build around him, Jalen Johnson and Onyeka Okongwu, and that's your plan, and then to utilize assets from whoever you trade Trae Young to, then that's fine. If that's what's available, then I'm all in on the Pistons trying to make something work for Trae Young. He's not my favorite player. He's very flawed. I do think there is going to be undertones of him playing next to Cade, similar to how he played with DeJounte Murray. Cade is a better playmaker, and Cade might actually be better if his usage rate doesn't have to be 100% like it was this year. You might actually get to breathe a little bit, but I think it's worth a swing of the dice. It's worth a roll of the dice, rather. If you swing dice, you're in big trouble. It's worth a roll of the dice. You do have all this cap space. They've sat on their hands for years now, not using that cap space other than on the corpse of Joe Harris. and a couple of other players, I'm fine with it. But I don't want to give up Asar Thompson. That's kind of my one caveat, is you can't give up Asar Thompson. You can give up Ivy. I don't know why they want Duran. They already have Okongwu. I mean, unless you're going to get Clint Capela back to make money work. But
Stewart, it's going to have to be Stewart.
It's going to have to be Stewart, which, again, is fine. We're also on the record, all of us on this podcast, saying that he's not a starting four. But I don't want to give up Asar Thompson. Having a young athletic wing is just too valuable in the NBA to just give up for Trae Young, who was injured for most of the year. He did have a pretty good season still, was still an all-star. But he is making $40 million this year, $43 million next year, $46 the year after. He has an early termination option, and then it's basically $50 million for the next 2 years each after that. So he is going to take up a significant amount of the cap. But in the same vein of why we wouldn't want to trade for Zach LaVine because he's so expensive, we'd much rather pay for Trae Young at that point, given that dollar amount versus Zach LaVine making the same amount of money for sure. So I'm in the camp of, if there's a trade there that keeps Asar and Cade, I think you have to deeply, deeply explore that. Of course, depending on whoever the GM and the head coach is.
But before we move on, everyone listening, I want to know what you think, because I cannot imagine that poll we ran on Twitter is how the community feels. I don't believe the results. It's fake news. They're mocking the votes. It just can't be right. So tell us what you think. Go into our YouTube comment section if that's where you're watching. Trae Young, do you want him? Would you prefer DeJounte Murray? Or what other star should the Pistons trade for? If you're not listening or watching on YouTube, tweet us at Palace of Pistons. Tell us what you think. We want to know, because I cannot believe that people are actually sitting on their, you know, their high horses saying, no, the Pistons shouldn't be going after Trae Young. What? Tell us what you think. I want to know.
I'll say this last thing. If I'm the Hawks, if you could make it work, like somehow, if you get a third team involved, you threw out something, Aaron, like putting Josh Giddey on the Atlanta Hawks as well. I think I could really talk myself into something like three guard rotation of Murray, Giddey, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Johnson and Isaiah Stewart as your forwards, and then Okongwu as your center. I think there's a little bit of meat on that bone.
I tossed Josh Giddey to the Thunder for a couple of reasons. I put the Thunder in the trade because it allows them to get a big center to put in their rotation. Whether they start him or bring him off the bench, they can get Clint Capela, who will be on an expiring deal next year. So it's not like they're committed super, super long-term to him. They obviously have the cap space to bring him in. It gets Josh Giddey off of their books. They don't have to worry about signing him to a long-term deal. After next season, when he enters restricted free agency, they already are going to be committing to guys. They are highly, highly anticipated to be using some of the 35 draft picks, literally 35 draft picks that they own, to make a big-time swing for a big-time player, a star that becomes available in the market. Luckily for teams like the Pistons or Spurs, you know, they're not necessarily going to be a competitor for them in like the Trae Young or DeJounte Murray market, I'd most likely expect, but they could help in these trades because they can still be used as a partner to facilitate the trades, to make cap space work. And in this case, they get a guy in Capela who could legitimately help them in their rotation down the line. So that's how I had Giddey getting to the Hawks. And it also gets Atlanta off more of that cap space that they're desperately trying to shed as they stare down the face of a rebuild. The next steps for them would then be considering, where does DeJounte Murray go? Do we want to keep him? What happens to Bogdan Bogdanovic? Do we now bring back Sadiq Bey, who's going to be entering free agency? So that's my whole idea there. It wasn't fully fleshed out. It's hard to make trades on the trade machine right now, just because all the contracts are kind of in flux because of the offseason and whatnot. But that was the baseline thinking of it. So we can move on now, but just wanted to further extend on that point from Jasper, just so people don't go up in arms like, oh, Josh Giddey's, you know, how does he get on the Hawks? What the hell?
I was actually looking at the trade machine while you guys were talking, and the contracts are totally out of whack because of the current state of the season. But you know, there are deals that work. You could absorb Capella if you're going to send Duren out. You could absorb Capella. DeAndre Hunter is another contract that is not great, but the Pistons would need a wing. You know, maybe if you absorb Hunter and Young and send out more salary, you don't have to give up a first or as many firsts. So depending on who the next president of basketball operations is and whoever that individual picks for GM, should the Pistons have a new one, they would have to get a little bit creative in making something like that work, unless they bring in a third team like you had suggested. And by the way, the Pistons are not going to be the only team in on Trae Young. In fact, that article from Bleacher Report makes it seem like they're not even super inconsiderate. They're just a dark horse. I think you're going to have teams like the Los Angeles Lakers who are going to have three firsts at their disposal and perhaps some more, you know, ready now players. Not that Jaden Ivey's not going to be a good player, but he's not ready now. If they, you know, if Atlanta wants to make the playoffs next year or be in contention, you know, they might would rather have D'Angelo Russell to kind of slot right back into point guard or something along those lines. And they have the salaries to make that work. The Spurs, I have heard, are also very in on Trae Young. And they could outdo almost anybody in the league with how many picks they have and whatever they can throw. And they already have Victor Wembanyama. Trae Young may, you know, prefer to go to a place where he's going to be next to another superstar of that magnitude. So just want to have the caveat, the Pistons are not the only team in on Trae Young. You're going to have a lot of teams in on Trae Young if he were to become available. It hasn't worked out in Atlanta, but Atlanta's dealt with a ton of injuries this year.
Just another reason why it's so stupid that people are so against trading for him, as if
right,
it's like a guarantee the Pistons could get him for some super friendly deal. Like, no, he's going to have several teams that are going to be playoff teams next year trying to get Trae Young because he is worth going after. So,
right, he is. So speaking of the president of basketball operations, the Pistons are going to hire one, supposedly. This comes from multiple sources within the NBA. I don't remember who had it first. May have been Woj. I think Woj had it first, but James Edwards III of The Athletic kind of alluded to this several weeks back, even that, you know, that they would consider hiring, the Pistons would consider hiring a president of basketball operations to stack on top of general manager, stack on top of Troy Weaver, and let that individual make the decision on where the front office goes, if he keeps Troy Weaver or moves on, or keeps Monty Williams or moves on, or wants to hire his own choice for GM, which I think in all likelihood is probably what would happen. There are quite a few candidates that have been mentioned. John Hammond has been mentioned, John Horst, Neil Olshey, of course, from the Portland Trail Blazers, Bryson Graham, and everyone's favorite, Dwayne Casey, which would be the most Pistons hire of all, would be to just kind of give Dwayne a new office down the hallway and give him a new title. So, you know, do any of these names stick out to you guys? You know, first off, what are your thoughts on hiring a president of basketball operations to stack on top of Troy Weaver? Jasper, again, you've been here, so I'm going to need you to talk. Get as much as we have to make up for all those weeks missed. What's your thoughts on bringing in a president of basketball operations to put over the general manager?
Yeah, so as we were refueling the jet stream, I was thinking about this. And look, it's one of those things where, like, it feels necessary on one hand because you can't trust Tom Gorris to do anything other than, you know, bilk prisoners out of their money. And, you know, Troy Weaver's not going to fire himself. I also just think, though, it's so indicative of this entire Pistons organization. We're adding another voice into the front office. Hooray, finally, another, you know, hand in the soup, finally. There's nothing wrong in theory with hiring a president of basketball operations. In fact, I think it probably is necessary at this point. It feels like it's the only way you're going to be able to get rid of Monty Williams and Troy Weaver. because Tom Gores doesn't want to take responsibility for any of that stuff at this point. You know, he's too busy building community gardens. And the names I've seen are appealing to me, I will say, for the most part. I don't know how I really feel about Neil Olshey. Like, that Blazer situation, yes, they got Dame, they got CJ McCollum, but I didn't think they did a great job of building around those guys while he was in Portland. Like, they were always just a few pieces short and just didn't seem to be able to get themselves over the finish line. John Hammond is a very appealing name to me. I mean, look, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Giannis Antetokounmpo. That guy's pretty good. And John Hammond is the guy who drafted him. He's also the guy who fleeced Joe Dumars for Chris Middleton. And now you look at what he's done in Orlando. I mean, Orlando is so far ahead of where the Pistons rebuild is. And he's played a huge part in that. Dwayne Casey, come on now. Come on now, folks. Let's get real here. That just cannot happen at all. I just would not trust Dwayne to make the decisions that are necessary for this roster and for this front office. But I think it is clear, ultimately, that you need an adult in the room. And this is something that we have been begging for years. For years now, like, you need a guy who's going to stand there and be like, this is the decision. This is where the organization is going. And boy, did this last offseason just show like how the Pistons do not have that when you talk about the coaching search and how disastrously that ended up going. I just think that there's no other recourse for the Pistons at this point. And that, in a way, is very depressing. I will lastly say I do like the idea of Graham like coming in to at least like shore up what this draft, you know, situation looks like. He's a guy that's found so much young talent over the last few years. You look at New Orleans, like, they have somehow made it work. I mean, shoot, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Najee Marshall, Jose Alvarado, like Dyson Daniels, like, they've put together some really, really good draft picks over the last few years, and especially towards the back end of the draft, which is, I think, in many ways, what has really hurt the Pistons over the last few years is their complete inability to find talent outside of the top five, top 10. So yeah, I think it's necessary. I think it's needed. I also think it's incredibly indicative of just how dysfunctional this organization is right now. So I'm hoping whoever they do hire, A, it's going to happen quickly, and B, they're going to make the tough decisions. And by that, I mean firing both Troy Weaver and Monty Williams, because those guys cannot be here next year.
There has to be a point in hiring a president of basketball operations. It can't simply be to just add another voice to what is, to the public, already a very crowded room between Tom Gores, who has said on numerous occasions that he is involved in the decision-making process, his senior advisor, Arne Tellem, Troy Weaver, and Dwayne Casey, and the two assistant general managers that Detroit has, and all of the other scouts and all of the other members of the front office. There are already so many voices, so many opinions that have to be heard and discussed and debated. There needs to be a guy that has a path that everyone believes in. And there's no questioning, there's no doubting, there's no factions, there's none of that. There's a guy, Tom Gores, trusts him to make the decisions and is going to allow him to make decisions. The coach believes in those decisions and understands the process and the philosophy. And he has a front office staff that is working towards building out that same philosophy, that same plan. That is my concern with hiring a president of basketball operations. In a vacuum, it's not a bad idea. But overall, if there's not cohesion in that front office and with the coaching staff, what does it do for you except make things muddier in an already crowded room. The other side of that is he going to come in and probably do what's necessary at this point, despite it being unfortunate for Monty Williams, who's only had a year here, and say, this culture is a losing culture. Thank you for your time and services, Troy. Thank you for your time and services, Monty. Here are your contracts that you're going to get paid. At least from what we know for Monty, he's going to get paid very damn well. We thank you. We need to move in another direction. You have to have a guy that's going to come in and I think do that. And if he doesn't, then you're going to have to be hiring a guy that's already a very firm believer in Monty Williams and maybe has some of the similar philosophies of Troy Weaver. And at that point, do you even want that? I don't really know. So I think the president of basketball operations has to come in and be given the keys and trusted to build this thing out around Cade and do so with not a stupid, rushed sense of urgency, but the idea of, hey, we gave the last guy the opportunity for four seasons to improve the team, and we got worse every single year. We can't have that this time around. There has to be growth. There has to be improvement in the records, and there have to eventually be playoff appearances. Those are that's my opinion on hiring a president of basketball ops. There has to be a plan. There has to be a commitment, and there has to be a process to getting the losing culture out and moving forward with a sense of urgency.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I can't remember where I read this, but I did recently read something about the 04 Pistons team. You know, this is the 20-year anniversary. Can't really imagine a greater, juxtaposition between those two seasons over the last 20 years. Worst record in the history of the franchise and, you know, a championship. Apparently, a lot of those guys who came back, they were saying, you know, that this team, these players are begging for leadership. And that is something that I think has been very, very clear over the last few years, is there is just, outside of Dwayne Casey, and, you know, I'll give him credit there. I think Dwayne Casey did mentally hold the team together. But from the ownership down, there's just been no leadership. There's been no concrete vision. There's been no real game plan of, like, how are we getting better this year? How are we getting better? Here's a concrete example. Here are players that we are bringing in. Here is a vision for this season, for the season after that. There just has been none of that. And I understand why guys like Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren don't improve over their rookie seasons. It's because they're not being given the tools. They're not being given the path forward to improve. And exactly like you said, Aaron, that has to be priority number one. There has to be a clear-cut vision, not a rush job, not a, you know, well, we're going to see how it works out. No, there has to be a guy who's coming in from day one and says, I've been looking at this roster. I've been looking at this team. I've been looking at this organization. Here is what we need to do to move forward. And I am going to implement that from the first day of this job. And I think we're all going to be in agreement on this. That is going to have to start with firing the guys who got you into this position, Monty Williams and Troy Weaver.
Yeah, Monty's going to be paid handsomely. He's going to be joining you in, on all of your lavish vacations, Jasper, because he's, in fact, he could probably front the bill for a couple of meals. He's going to be getting paid very nicely. You know, we talked about it last week, Aaron and I, about just no real strategic vision for the Pistons. And it seems like that Troy Weaver and the front office lost the plot. They just got off course. They never really understood where they wanted to go or where they needed to go. And they didn't have steps in mind to get them there. But I want to go over a couple of the guys that were mentioned in that article. Just real briefly, Jasper, you touched on John Hammond. It goes without saying he orchestrated the Milwaukee Bucks championship run. So he's obviously, you know, near the top of the list. John Horst, same deal. Again, was part of a championship team and has been the GM for, you know, one of the best organizations in basketball. I agree with you on Neil Olshay, and it kind of went under the radar because it happened right in this like smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. But, you know, he was fired for a toxic work environment for the Portland Trailblazers. I don't think that's necessarily a good individual to bring into an organization that has already had turmoil of that ilk. So I would probably pass on Neil Olshay, you know, even though he does have the, you know, the repertoire of building a team back up like he did with Portland. Bryson Graham is the one that just clearly stands out as the guy that seems like the most easy hire for them to make. First off, he is friends with, you know, Monty Williams. Should they decide to keep Monty and not pay that whole contract, he knows Monty and has worked with him in the past, considers him a friend. Even there was a profile through The Athletic that said that he considers him a friend and has worked with him before. He also worked with Tim Connelly, who's also, you know, one of the more well-regarded front office people in the NBA from his time with the Denver Nuggets and now with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who've had a miraculous turnaround into one of the best teams in the West. And he's pretty young. And I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, John Hammond is a little bit older, 69, he'll be 70 years old this year. John Horst is quite a bit younger, makes some sense, and he does have some Michigan ties. But to me, Bryson Graham seems like the one that makes the most sense from a, here's a young up-and-coming star. Let's see what he wants to do with a team that, you know, does have some things at its disposal. It has a center player in Cade Cunningham. It does have some draft picks, but we really need to resolve the New York Knicks holding this pick hostage. There's some other younger players in Ivy and Duren and Asar. Pistons fans already know this. There's some malleable items within, you know, the Pistons' trove of assets. It's just somebody needs to figure out what direction they need to go in to maximize those. Maybe with those ties to Monty, makes some sense to bring him in. You know, if Tom Gores says, I don't want to pay for that giant contract, that's entirely my fault. You know, maybe they just bring in the guy who's his friend and they can make it work together. But to me, it seems like an odd choice to get a basketball or a president of basketball operations at this time. It will make a lot more sense if he comes in, cleans house, and has a clear vision of who he wants to bring in for a general manager and for a head coach. But as it stands, it's just like we've said, it's stacking names on top of names and more cooks in the kitchen, and nothing will get cooked. It'll just be flames everywhere.
Yeah, that's the whole issue with it. It's, you know, you've got to have a guy, and you've got to, as the owner in Tom Gores, you've got to believe in him and fully trust in him that he can come in and be allowed to do his job. And that's making the big decisions, making the hiring decisions, making the roster decision, doing everything. And he's the guy, and there's got to be a trust in that. And, you know, it's like if you make the wrong hire, you're back in the same position again in 2-3 years, and you're like,
right,
we've made no progress, you're poor in assets, we are dead in cap space. Like, so it's a big hire, and it's a big decision to make to bring in a guy that I'd say is more likely than not going to come in and clean house and tear down a roster that, I mean, as we've said, needs to get torn down anyway. But it's a big decision to kind of start that process over. You know, you're talking about a guy coming in and essentially doing what Troy Weaver did to the roster. Now, I don't think he'll get rid of everyone in the same way that Troy Weaver did, because Troy got rid of everyone. I think this guy's going to come in, and there's going to be the, you know, the understanding that Cade is a guy, we're not moving on from Asar yet, We want to bring back Simone Fontecchio. We like Isaiah Stewart. We still have two other young guys in Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey that, hey, they're part of the team. Yes, they can be moved, but, you know, we're not getting rid of them for nothing. And then after that, though, there's going to be like, hey, this president of basketball operations is going to want to get some of his guys and going to want to start implementing guys that he feels are going to get this team to into a winning phase. So there's got to be that trust that he's able to come in and do it. And you can't have too many voices arguing with him and not aligned with him. There's got to be a trust and a unity amongst the whole organization and a buy-in there from everyone.
And I'll say this as my last point, as we wrap up, like I said before, you need to move quickly here. Like, this decision needs to be made fast. And that's just because we've hit on this so many times. The NBA moves very, very quickly. I mean, you look at the Nets already hired a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, before the playoffs even started,
and it wasn't Kevin Ollie.
What a shocker. I really thought he had the juice. You need to make this decision fast, because if you're going to hire a president of basketball operations and he does clean house, that means you now have two more hires you also need to make on top of that. Minimum one, Troy Weaver has to be gone. Possibly two, if Monty Williams is gone as well. So it's also like not outside of the realm of possibility that two of the guys we've talked about today, and we didn't mention Tim Connolly, but he's also a guy I'd be very, very interested in bringing in for that position as president of basketball operations. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that you bring in a Hammond or a Horst or a Connolly, and then also hire, say, Bryson Graham as your new GM. Like, that would be something Correct. I'd be very, very interested in. And if you do bring in somebody older like Hammond, like, you can then groom, you know, you can then groom Graham in order to take over that role eventually. So I think that there is room to operate here. There is opportunity to put together a very solid front office. But like I said, it's got to happen quick. It's got to happen quick, because if you don't strike while the iron is hot, you're pretty much screwed.
And we saw that last season when they were going through coaches. I mean, it came down to, we either get Kevin Ollie and appease Troy Weaver, or Tom Gores opens the checkbook and pays whatever to get a head coach, because so many of the other coaches that we talked about were scooped up already. And it put the Pistons in a real lurch. And then we hear all these stories about inside fighting between ownership and the GM about who they want to get and all this back and forth. And it's just, they do have to move fast. They have to move fast. The playoffs are here. Now is the time. I don't know if they've hired a search firm. I couldn't find anywhere if they hired a formal firm to go out. They did. Okay. But they got to move fast. You are absolutely right there, because otherwise we're going to have a repeat of last offseason where we're talking about coaches for, 9 weeks, it seems like, and there's still no hire. And all of a sudden, Monty's out of nowhere with a $70 million check.
Got to move fast. Lottery is coming up, and then you don't want to be spending the 2-3 weeks before the lottery hiring a POBO, firing a GM, firing a coach, hiring a GM, hiring a coach, hiring an assistant staff, hiring an assistant GM, hiring a new scouting department. You can't wait that long. You've got to move quickly. That's how the NBA works. So it's got to move. It's got to move fast. And if it does take a long time, maybe the writing's going to be on the wall with that decision. And it's say, if they are waiting until, a week or two into June to make that decision, if it's going up until the draft, then that would tell me that they're probably sticking with at least Troy Weaver, if not also Monty Williams, under the new POBO. So something that I think will be telling as well is how quickly they move to get it done. If they are moving quicker, I think that's a greater inclination that greater changes are coming to the rest of the leadership within the organization. Takes a while longer, there might be a built-in decision that they're moving forward with Troy and Monty in capacity.
If they keep both, the next podcast we have will be very drunk.
Be interesting.
There'll be a lot of
It'll be
You're right. It's definitely going to be interesting. Well, guys, that's all of our topics, and we're at about the hour mark. Any Jasper, any last thoughts since you've left the country and come back? Jasper,
and that's why I said I'm like the guy that gets thrusted into the first guy role when the star goes down with an injury. When the star comes back, he's deferred to first. I come in second. It's been that way the whole podcast. I accept it. I know my role. I will jump in front of Jasper here, though, just because I'm already talking. Stan Van Gundy was on a 97.1 podcast. Yeah. I think it was called Restore the Floor. Just worth your listen. It's only like 30 minutes. He goes back and talks about his time as the Pistons coach and president of basketball operations. So I think that's very timely for Pistons fans. Also had some interesting comments on Detroit's current core. Had some comments on Cade Cunningham. So after now that you've listened to this whole show and you've gone and you have subscribed to palaceofpistons.com and you followed us and subscribed to us on YouTube and you've liked this video and you've left a rating for our show on Apple Podcasts, now that you've done all that, that's what I would suggest you do next is go listen to the Restore the Floor podcast with Stan Van Gundy. Just it's an interesting listen. I think you can learn a lot from it, and maybe you can bury the hatchet that you have for what Stan Van Gundy did to this team during his tenure as the president of basketball operations and head coach. So that's all from me this week, gents. A pleasure to be with you both. I hope we get to continue to have all three of us on the show for at least a little bit of a stretch here. I know scheduling gets tough, but truly, truly a blast when we're all together. And I hope all the listeners enjoy it as well.
Yeah, guys, it's been fun. Aaron, you know, I'm just an inefficient shot chucker. You're making the offense hum. It's all about, you know, efficiency with you, man. Oh my God. 10 shots, 7 makes. Love that true shooting percentage, brother. It's been a blast, guys. Can't wait to do it again next week.
Yes, and we'll be back next week. Next week, Detroit's at like the center of the sporting world with the NFL draft. So it'll be very, very fun up there. Even better that the Lions aren't picking super high either because they're actually good now. So that's probably the best part of all this. Fellas, it was a great time. I'm really glad that we all got to pod again. It's been far too long, and we'll be doing this plenty as the playoffs roll on. And then hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we have a new president of basketball operations that we could talk about and dissect. And for all the listeners, we hope that you'll be joining us again when we inevitably end up talking about that as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast. Guys, it was a lot of fun. Really, I mean that. And Jasper, hopefully you have more stories about all the great places that you went to. because we are definitely due for an insane story that sort of break up the monotony of talking about a bad Pistons team. So like I said, that's going to do it. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, Bet Online. And again, if you haven't gone over and used Bet Online, we have been sponsored by them for several months now, maybe over a year at this point. We certainly would love for you to check them out. And again, as Aaron said, all of the pre-show plugs are now the post show plugs as well. Follow us on Substack. If you're listening on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And the link to subscribe to the Substack should be in the show notes for wherever you get your podcasts. For my co-hosts, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. And we will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.